Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
People in the broadcasting business truly believe that was the case. You would have to, your headset would, as you know, Andrew, you would have to take your headset off and point it in the direction of your seat. It's impossible for that headset with that directional mic to have picked up something like that. So anyway.
So, what was the noise? What was the sound?
I have no, I didn't know anything about it until the
social media
that night.
You got all these guys in the truck and behind the scenes. None of them could put their finger on what it was?
Did you say nobody could pull their finger on what it was? Was that a pun?
Maybe.
No, I didn't ask anybody about it. I honestly.
See, I would demand answers.
Second.
If I was getting fingered for a fart that I didn't do and the whole world was talking about it, I would want to give an explanation for why it happened.
The only thing I said to Neil that day on the bus when I heard all about the social media stuff and I started looking, I said, can I ask you a question? Because I said, why am I getting blamed for this and you're not?
I blame Neil. Well, I was on your side. I said, I think the professional athlete would do it because he thought he could get away with it.
Well, maybe it's true. Maybe he did. I don't know. But we had fun with it. We had all kinds of puns on the air the next day. And what's his name? The guy, the punter that's got the big
McAfee.
Show. McAfee, I guess, talked about it for a few minutes on his very popular show.
Well, McAfee's been talking more about the Pirates. He's gotten sucked into the Skeens and Jones
duo. Yeah, Skeens was doing some stuff in Indy with him. So I guess Skeens went on for a while. He got Jared Jones went on with Skeens recently, too. So, yeah, McAfee. McAfee knows that these guys are good, and he's going to jump on that, man. The Pirates have two of the most exciting young starting pitchers in baseball. So McAfee's going to play it up, of course.
Greg, you've watched baseball for 40-plus years. Who does Skeens remind you of?
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know that I can compare him to anybody. With the whole package, you know, the demeanor, the way he kind of marches around and stalks off the mound into the dugout. Nobody in my lifetime that I've seen with that size body, with this kind of baseball acumen, with as well polished, coming right out of college, I can't think of anybody. Very, very unique.
And that includes like phenoms with other teams. Like you've seen them all.
Oh,
you've
yeah,
seen
I can't think of anybody that.
And...
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anybody that again compares the whole pack, the size. The stuff.
Yep.
The how polished he is through just a college guy. He really can't. I'll give it some more thought, but certainly don't. It's nobody comes to mind.
Let me pose something to you. If instead of Andrew Filippone saying this, it was somebody on MLB Network who had played in the major leagues, and that person said, I think Paul Skeens is already one of the five best pitchers in baseball. Would you bristle at that? Would you take umbrage?
He's already one of the five best pitchers in baseball?
Yes.
I'd say I would not take umbrage to that. I don't know that I would. We had a big my buddies and I had a big debate last night. We had some post-game beverages.
Cigars?
And cigars, yes, as a matter of fact. But and somebody said, is he right now one of the top five pitchers all time, a top three pitchers all time in Pirates baseball history? And there's a big debate going on. I listen mainly. But that's an interesting topic.
Did Jim Trendinich bring up Babe Adams and Wilbur Cooper during that debate? Well, was he bringing up guys from over 100 years ago like he likes to do?
Because Jim was not there, I represented him, and I said Wilbur Cooper and Babe Adams. What about them?
Good.
So, yeah, so they were well represented last night.
Well, I mean, I think in terms of, like, his high-end ability, he is better than anyone I've ever seen. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Drabeck Pirates, you mean?
Yes, Drabeck pitched to contact, and Candelaria was a combo of things, but, you know, not, like, totally overwhelming and dominating like Skeens is.
Went on his game. Stretch. Now, again, I'm saying it off the cuff and not looking at stats and numbers right now, but in terms
of you're not beholden to numbers and stats anyways, Greg.
No. I'm just saying if somebody says, oh, no chance, and they look up stats, and I may be wrong. I'm just saying what comes to mind in terms of dominance, a Pirates pitcher for a stretch of games, since I've been broadcasting, Oliver Perez was ridiculous.
For 1 year.
We're talking about.
But you know what the difference is between him and Skeens, even from that 1 year, which I think was 2004? There were times where he still didn't know where the ball was going. This guy.
Agreed. That is true. That is very true.
The command from Skeens is ridiculous for how hard he throws.
No doubt. 100%. And I'm just talking about how he dominated hitters, but you're right.
Well, sometimes wildness can be effective. I mean, look at Nolan Ryan, for example.
Yeah, that's true. And Skeens doesn't need that.
Nope. And I maintain if he had the splinker last year at LSU, he would have definitely been the first pick, and there would have been no discussion or debate about it.
Well, I think we're seeing now that the Pirates were spot on.
But yes, they were.
Guy number one. I mean, you know, we discussed this leading up to the draft. I mean, all things considered.
Well, as per usual, you and me were right about it, and Mueller was way off. He liked Dylan Cruz.
Oh, there you go. And Mueller's not there to defend himself, I'm assuming.
No, he's in Myrtle Beach today.
Oh, good. Okay.
Okay, so Greg, people are taking umbrage again. I'll use that word a second time. The lineup, they're not happy that it's Jared Triolo at shortstop instead of O'Neill Cruz. And the rebuttal from Derek Shelton will probably be, well, it's a lefty. I think eventually we need to see O'Neill Cruz hit lefties. I don't want my star player to be a platoon guy. So I'd rather see him in than out today. Greg, your thoughts?
Well, I just got done recording the Shelton show, radio show, actually, and asked him. I said to him, the question was, you have the lefty Nick Lodolo on the mound tonight, and what we have seen from you recently, at least, is that you're trying to stack the deck against certain lefties anyway, mm-hmm. with right-handed batters. And he said, yeah, we're trying to do that. And he said, it also gives us a chance to have O'Neill off his feet.
Oh, my God. I'm so sick of hearing that. They've had a million off days, Greg. You know that. You've had all kinds of time on your hands this month.
The only difference, though, in this particular case, and I agree with you on many cases when it comes to play, the only difference for me is we don't know how badly that ankle is barking. In fact, he referenced on his radio pregame show that you'll hear tonight, he referenced I asked the difference between Ellie De La Cruz and O'Neill Cruz and what he has seen, and he mentioned that Ellie runs more, but he said that is probably a product of what O'Neill went through last year in terms of the injury. So I think the injury is coming into play more than anyone will say. Not the injury, the after effects of that injury that cost him last year. So, and I think he tweaked it.
But the injury turns him into a platoon player, though. I mean,
I don't think full time, but maybe for now until he's feeling a lot better.
I'm just saying, if Hunter Green were on the mound tonight for the Reds, he'd be in the lineup. This is strictly about the lefty.
That's true. I would agree with you there. I think you're right. The good thing is, you know, and I will also say this, that if they had they were facing a string of lefties, mm-hmm. he wouldn't be out of the lineup every day against a string of lefties. This is, they see the schedule, they know that the Tampa Bay Rays have no lefties, so that means that in the six-game homestand, O'Neill Cruz is going to start five of the six games. I think they look that far in advance when they get it. And by the way, too, I'm a big Jared Triolo fan.
They. I'm still stunned now, knowing what we know about Nick Gonzalez, that they picked Jared Triolo over him out of spring training. I'm trying to figure that one out.
Well, I was for that. I thought that was the right move. I thought he played better in spring training, and I thought he could win the Pirates more games. I think he did a heck of a job. And he fielded a third when Hayes was out for that 2 or 3
right.
weeks.
What's
stretch.
Going on with him? I mean, even Hayes, even his fielding is not where it was last year.
Yeah, we can't get inside a guy's head. We don't know anything about injury. I don't think he would say it. But for me, I do wonder about the back. I do wonder. Well, the other day in St. I think it was in St. Louis, I believe, might have been in Denver. But one of those games, there was one ground ball that hit off of his glove and deflected into foul
St.
territory.
Louis. Yep.
Okay, there was another ground ball that same day that I think went under his glove
yep.
to his left. And my reaction, my thought was right away, if you've got a bad back, and, thankfully I've not on occasion had to have a back bark on me, but if you've got a kind of a chronic back issue that can crop up and get you, maybe that's one of those things where you're not able to be as, I mean, it would make sense, you're not as mobile. And maybe not able to get to certain balls that you could in the past. So that's all I got for you in terms of.
Well, that's still a good thing because it's been a chronic thing his entire career, the back.
So well, I think they've kind of admitted that, and they've kind of have talked about how they're going to have to kind of manage that. Anybody that's had a back issue, Christian Yelich missed how much time this year with that back? And then he came back, and now he's just tearing it up.
Yeah.
Well, Milwaukee,
I've started powerlifting, and I've had to be careful about that, Greg, so I know exactly
what
you're talking about.
Okay, so, yeah, there you go. You know.
Now, do you agree with much of the anger and rancor and vitriol that has been out there regarding what happened the last day in St. Louis last week? Do you get that?
Which is what?
Basically, we got a rubber match. It's our first series against St. Louis. We're in a race with them. We're neck and neck with them, and let's give all of our best hitters the day off other than Reynolds. That whole deal.
That's what you say. Do I agree with that?
Yes, and then eighth and ninth inning, pivotal spots in the game, let's still keep these guys on the bench and not use them.
Yeah, I said it on the air. I wondered what was going on. I wondered, where were they, at least when it came to the pinch hitters. I said they have these guys available. They're not using them. Don't know why. But I don't know why they made that decision. I would personally,
yep.
If I'm, is it to me?
Yep.
Nick Gonzalez, your offense is not out of the woods yet. You have some guys that are no doubt. The statistics will show that they are way better offensively for the past several weeks, month and a half.
McCutchen, Reynolds, Gonzalez, Tellez, those guys.
They're way better. Offense is way better. They're still not out of the woods. It has to be continued, obviously. But when they didn't start Gonzalez, that surprised me, Nick Gonzalez. I will never understand.
I didn't understand that either.
And I don't know that we've heard an explanation for it.
We have not.
And I will say, too, that there are things that go on a bench that we know we're not privy to. So who knows what happens. But, day of game, before the game, I don't know. I mean, did they say it was just for a rest? I don't know that either. That doesn't make sense to me.
Me neither.
We had Monday off. I think we had a day off before that. And the guy's young, and he wants to play every day. And you need the back. In fact, sometimes I will say, I'm going to quantify this by saying, unless there was an issue that we don't know about, something. Sometimes those guys have a. There is an illness. Sometimes there's a flu bug, something, stomach bug, something happens. Although oftentimes they'll tell you that. But all things being equal, if he's healthy, that doesn't make sense to me when you're trying to beat the St. Louis Cardinals. And I appreciate people wanting to the fact that they're within a half game of the wild card. That's all well and good. But for me, I don't want to hear about the wild card until you're eliminated from the division. I want to win the division. I think it's important for the Pittsburgh Pirates to win the National League Central. And I still believe it can be had. They have the talent. They have the pitching that they can run off, not just a bunch of wins in a row, but win 10 of 12, win 14 of 17. So that's the other thing that I was befuddled by the fact that at least Nick Gonzalez, your best hitter for the past month, and one of the best hitters in all of the National League, was not in the starting lineup against a division opponent.
Greg, what do you think is the ceiling for this team if they don't make any moves and they just stay who they are? And this, what you see is what you get kind of thing.
I don't know because we see what Telez has done. We see what how the offense has come along. There's still a lot in there from Sawinski, Hayes. We just talked about. If all those guys start,
is there a lot in there with Sawinski? I mean, sometimes it like.
Well, would you take the Sawinski of 22 and 23?
Yes.
Okay, so that it's in there. Obviously, he's done it. So if you get that from him in the next remainder, half the season, then yeah, and that's huge. It's just huge if he's back to that. They're still, if all that comes into play, these guys start to play to their potential, and with the staff that they have, they could still overtake the other teams in the division, certainly the Brewers.
Greg, thank you. Enjoy the game tonight. I wish I was there, but now that I have an 11-month at home, it's not as easy to get out to these things.
Boy, I hear you, Andrew. It's a good excuse.
I'll be watching and listening, though. Thank you, Greg.
All right, man.
There
Thanks.
You go. Greg Brown on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Let's take a very quick timeout and we'll be back to recap what Greg said next. All right. Greg Brown just joined us. And Greg at the end of that said he believes the Steelers. He believes the Pirates can still win the NL Central and run down the Brewers without making moves. And brought up the rowdy Telez turnaround and also brought up Jack Sawinski and said you would take the Sawinski from last year if he transforms back into that player. You would take that guy, right? And my answer to that is yes, but what indication do we have that he will do that? And Telez has been awesome in June. That doesn't erase how terrible he was in April and May. Now, if he's good the rest of the year, you keep playing him. But these players are ultimately judged and therefore compensated based on not what they do in a month span, but what they do for the entire season. What's going on with Telez, I think, has a chance to be a blessing and a curse. And I hate to, that's not my nature. I don't want to take something that is right now in the moment, objectively a good thing. Here is a guy that comes out of a wicked slump and he is performing well. I don't want to take what is a good thing and make it a bad thing, but just I can picture the Pirates thinking that their patience was rewarded with Telez. He came out of it. He got his swag. He got his confidence back. I mean, listen to Derek Shelton talk about Telez's turnaround today with Zeiss and Joe.
It's what, I think that, I think he's hitting about 450 in June, so I don't expect that. But the more consistency of the at-bats is what we expected from the get-go. And, I mean, we talked about it, multiple times on this show. He had a rough start. And I think the fact that he started to get going, he's starting to have better at-bats. Again, go back to the day he hit the home run, the fans getting behind him. There's a little bit of pressure that comes off, a little bit of relief. And I think we're feeling that now and we're seeing the results of it. I mean, he had a really good road trip. He had two doubles yesterday, had three hits the day before. So we're seeing more consistent at-bats out of him, which is important because we need him to be a run producer.
That's three times now I've heard Shelton, whether it's on with Starkey and Zeiss, whether it's on a game pregame show with Greg or Joe Block, or in a postgame press conference, talk about how he thinks the curtain call for Telez and the fans getting behind him in the Minnesota series helped get him out of this slump in. He feels like the guy has more confidence and the fans are partly to credit for that, which is cool. But getting back to my point, these guys have preconceived notions, and they have biases. Ben Cherington signed Rowdy Tellez. He came with recommendations from guys he worked with in Toronto. So that's what, and I think Andy Haynes might have crossed paths with them too in Milwaukee, if I'm not mistaken. So there's references there. What I'm saying is there's a bunch of people who believed in Tellez and thought he was worth taking a shot on. And now they're being, now they're starting to look smart for it. They're starting to feel like their belief in him was well worth it. They liked Sawinski enough to play him all of last year. They liked Henry Davis enough to make him the number one overall pick in the draft, even though part of that was saving money on the first pick to spend it on guys like Solometto and Chandler later in the draft. So I'm not even quite sure he was their number one rated guy, but still good enough to take with the top pick. I could honestly see them thinking, if these players start performing like we thought they would at the beginning of the year, we'll be just fine. We just have to... Who's saying ride in the storm out? Was that Sticks or was that REO Speedwagon? Randy, do you know who it was off the top of your head?
I do not know that.
Well, somebody was saying ride in the storm out. That's what I could see them doing here.
REO Speedwagon.
Thank you. And I thought Greg just hinted at that. That he thinks with just their internal guys and who they have in-house that they can run down the Brewers and win the division. And I do have a fear that that's the kind of rest on your laurels move that the Pirates will make between now and the deadline. Like, hey, all the answers we need are right here in this room. And Jack can hit 25 home runs in a season, and Davis hasn't done it in the big leagues yet, but he did it for us. He did so much in college, we thought he was worthy of being the top pick. Tellez came out of it, so there's proof that happened. We love Triolo in spring training. You just heard Greg say that he agreed with the decision to take him north over Gonzalez, who's now one of their best hitters. So their evaluation there wasn't right. That's the blessing and curse of Tellez getting hot, in my opinion. It gives them more reason and justification, I think, to sit on what they've got and say, maybe Sawinski will be just like Tellez, maybe Michael A. Taylor will be just like Tellez, and these guys will eventually come out of their slump, and we don't have to give up prospects for the guys we already have on this team. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. The Downey Football Debrief is next, but first a headline.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer, a beach bum summer, or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Time for the Downey Football Debrief, and it is brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread. In for Don, who is in Ocean City, Maryland, and is still tweeting out things about Paul Skeens. He is obsessed with the mustachioed Pirates hurler. He can't take a break. He can't unplug. Still watching games, still tweeting about them. We'll talk to Donnie on Monday when he gets back. In the meantime, Sean, a.k.a. Randy Myers, has a headline. Actually, he does not. He has the Donnie Football Debrief. What am I talking
about?
Even better. Go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, and I'm thoroughly prepared today. We got the music, thankfully, to set the tone here. It is the debrief, June 18th, 2024. And earlier today, CBS Sports came out with their top 100 NFL players for the upcoming season, the 2024 season. So this is a little bit of projecting and anticipating.
Okay, so this is not based on what they did last year. This is what CBS Sports expects out of these guys.
Yes.
For the, okay.
Yes. I don't think there's a surprise who number one is. It'd be
Mahomes.
The quarterback. Yeah, the quarterback for the Kansas City.
Have you looked at the entire list?
I've browsed the list.
Just to, like, clarify your point about projection, do they put Caleb Williams in the top 100? Do they put any rookies? Was there a Marvin Harrison Jr. sighting? A Malik Nabers?
I did not see. Well, just to give you a little insight, number 99 is Will Anderson coming off of a rookie of the year.
Man, that's awfully low for him, huh?
Yes. You would think that that would be a little higher. So if he's not any higher than 99, I don't...
You're guessing there's going to be no guys who haven't played a game in the NFL yet.
Right.
All right, so Mahomes is one. I'm going to predict that T.J. Watt is the highest Steeler on the list.
That is correct.
Where is he?
Well, do you want to venture a guess?
Sixth?
He is fifth. Can you name, other than Mahomes, the three players ahead of him? I'll say you might get fired up about one of them.
Okay. That's a clue. That makes me think Myles Garrett is one of the guys.
He is number two.
Oh, my God. Watt was better than him in every statistic that we've accepted as the measuring stick for players. Sacks, tackles for loss, forced fumbles, interceptions. He was better at every single one, and yet Garrett, because now I guess pressure rate is the end-all be-all for the people that vote on these things or pick these things, he is ahead of Watt, even though the Steelers' defense was better than the Browns' defense last year, statistically. So, Garrett is where? You said two?
He is number two, and they denote where they were last year. Last year, Garrett was number five, and Watt was number 11.
What a joke that is. All right, so Garrett's two. Does Lamar Jackson get the benefit of the doubt for winning the MVP?
Well, he's not in the top five. He's not even in the top 15.
Good. I like that. That's a nice recovery by CBS
Sports. I'm happy
to
see number three.
That makes me think it's a Niner.
Yes.
Trent Williams.
Correct.
Yep. Didn't allow a sack last year, although I didn't think he was great in the playoffs.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty clearly better the prior year, and they had him number 10 a season ago. So, you know.
Got it.
Take what you want from that. Number four, I'll give you a hint. It's a wide receiver.
Justin Jefferson?
Wrong wide receiver.
Tyreek Hill.
Yes. So, after T.J. Watt, it goes Josh Allen, number six. Justin Jefferson, number seven. Christian McCaffrey, number eight.
Man, you could have put him in the top five. He was going to be the next 49er I named.
Micah Parsons.
You know what? I would put McCaffrey ahead of Williams.
Yeah, I wouldn't oppose that. Well, how about three 49ers in the top 10 because Nick Bosa is number 10 to round out the list. Is there anyone in that top 10?
Is Parsons
10?
Below Bosa?
Parsons 9, Bosa 10.
Got it. And Garrett, where's Max Crosby?
He's number 11.
11, okay, so there's a run on edge rushers.
Is there anyone in that top 10 that you feel confidently will be far outside the top 10 a year from now?
Myles Garrett.
You think he's going to precipitously drop?
Are there any other Steelers on the list besides Watt?
Yes, there is, although you kind of have to wait a little while. So, number 45, by the way, is not a Steeler yet. Brandon Ayuk comes in at number 45.
So he would be the second best Steeler, according to this poll, if they were to trade for him.
Correct.
Got it.
So the next Steeler on this list, if I'm seeing it correctly, is number 68.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Minka?
Incorrect.
No. Can't be Hayward coming off an injury.
It is not Hayward.
Pickens?
George Pickens. And he was not ranked last season, so that's a pretty big boost for him. And then
it's so inconsistent, but the huge plays are there. And if he ever gets his head screwed on straight, he could go from 68 to 20th.
Not much below that is the third and final Steeler.
Minka?
Number 71.
Yeah, not coming off a great year.
How about, I mentioned...
Wait a minute, so Queen didn't make the top 100, and he was an all-pro last year.
I don't think I saw him, unless I missed. Let me double check that. But is there a person that you think could potentially rise significantly next year and be top 10 or even top 5 that was
left off?
That?
Stroud?
Yeah, I think.
CJ Stroud.
I think that's a good. How about Joe Burrow 15, Lamar Jackson 16?
I agree with that. If I was starting a team tomorrow, I would take Burrow over Lamar Jackson. Let me think of a guy who didn't make the top 100, who's on the Steelers roster, who I believe will be there next year. I'm going to go with...
I got one.
I'm going to go with Broderick Jones. You?
Joey Porter Jr.
Ah, that is a good one. I like that one. The Patrick Queen man was an all-pro. So considered like one of the four best inside linebackers with Roquan Smith and your guy in San Francisco, Werner. He's got to be on the list.
Yeah, Roquan Smith is number 40. And
where's Fred Warner?
Fred Warner is 22.
Okay. I'm fine with putting Warner ahead of Roquan. All right. Good stuff. Thank you for the debrief.
You're welcome.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Temperatures in the 90s all day today. All right. Breaking Pirates news to talk about. They've made a roster move, although it was apparently not, it was outside of their own control. They had no say in this. What? They could be making another move, according to one outlet, and what Greg Brown just said about the Pirates moving forward. I want to, if you're just finding us, I want to play that again for you when we come back and give you a chance to sound off. 412-928-9370. This is the PM team. We're here until 5:45. That's when the leadoff show comes your way. Right now, a message from Mulsey. All right, in less than 2 hours, we will have first pitch at PNC Park. The Pirates start the day only a half game out of a playoff spot, and they are looking to win the first two games of their season series with the Reds, sending Bailey Falter to the mound tonight. For the Pirates, they'll face a left-handed arm, and that means no O'Neill Cruz, who will get the evening off, so will Rowdy Tellez. For more, go to 93.7thefan.com right now. More Pony and Muller. Greg, what do you think is the like ceiling for this team if they don't make any moves and they just stay who they are? And this, what you see is what you get kind of thing.
I don't know because, we see what Tellez has done. We see what how the offense has come along. There's still a lot in there from Sawinski, Hayes, we just talked about. If all those guys start...
Is there a lot in there with Sawinski? I mean, sometimes it like...
Would you take the Sawinski of 22 and 23?
Yes.
Okay. So that it's in there, obviously. He's done it. So if you get that from him in the next remainder, half the season, then yeah. And that's huge. It's just huge if he's back to that. They're still, if all that comes into play, these guys start to play to their potential, and with the staff that they have, they could still overtake the other teams in the division, certainly the Brewers.
50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. We've been in the mode of kind of doing a pregame before the pregame because people are into the Pirates right now. They're definitely into Paul Skene starts. And hoping for the Pirates to capitalize and take advantage of the situation and not squander or not waste the golden goose, the golden arm of Paul Skenes. I don't even think it's just an arm. I think it's the whole body and the whole package. I think he's a very large man and he's built for pitching. And he doesn't just throw, he pitches. We saw that last night with the repertoire and going away from the fastball because the Reds were sitting dead red and he had to adapt, evolve or die. And he did, and he was still dominant after the first inning. He didn't give up another run. And so how do you capitalize on this? How do you take advantage of the situation? How do you make the most of it? And that's why I asked Greg, all right, if this is who they are, if we're watching and what we're seeing, if these are the 2024 Pirates, what's the best case scenario? And he still thinks it's winning a division. He still thinks they can win a division. I love Greg. I'm happy that he comes on the show once a week. I think he's going to end up in Cooperstown one day as a Baseball Hall of Fame broadcaster. I think he's out of his gourd for thinking that they can make up. They're seven games out right now? Randy, can you make sure that's right? I think they're seven out of the division behind, Milwaukee, 42 and 30? And they're 35 and 37.
It is seven games.
Seven games.
Milwaukee, and then the Cardinals are 5.5 out.
Okay, so that seven games is not insignificant. Teams have come back as a long-suffering, self-loathing Mets fan. The Mets blew a seven-game lead with 17 games left, so it has happened before. Teams go into free fall. The Pirates in 2012, before their 2013 season, basically crapped themselves and had diarrhea for all of September. So we have seen those situations arise in baseball where things like that spring up, but you're not the only team behind the Brewers. You have the Cardinals in between you two, and now the Reds are a game behind you, and the Cubs are a game and a half outside of you. FanGraphs, which is one of these baseball projection sites, it's actually a great resource site. A lot of the baseball announcers and broadcasters and writers go to FanGraphs all the time for information. They have a section of their website called Playoff Odds, where they put it through all their formulas and all their simulations. Neil Huntington would have loved this part of their website. And it allows for you to sort things out by, okay, right now at 35 and 37, seven games out, what are the odds the Pirates win the division? What are the odds they make a wild card? What are the odds they just make the playoffs, period? And they have the Pirates at 15% to just make the playoffs. It's not very good, 15%. They have every team in the division with better odds. Win the division, which is what Greg said. If guys play up to their potential, Greg said, meaning Sawinski and Hayes and everything else, he thinks that they can overtake the Brewers. I'm going to say this. Even if those guys snap out of it, and I don't think they will, I don't think Sawinski just goes back to being the hitter he was in 2023, and I don't, after hearing Greg talk about Hayes, I don't hear how you could think that Hayes goes back to being the guy he was at the end of last year. But even if that were to all happen, I don't think they're making up seven games. I don't think they're winning the division. And I really just hope that this is not the mindset of the front office, where they think internally, whether it's Rowdy Tellez, Jack Sawinski, Key Brian Hayes, Michael A. Taylor, Henry Davis, that they can just keep the guys that they have and it's good enough, that there's enough inside that clubhouse to win the division or even just make the playoffs. You're a half game out, but it's so bunched together. And there are teams, I think, that have more incentive to win now, like the Padres and the Giants, who have spent big money, and the Cardinals are always a team that has a massive fan base and is looking to win. And yeah, I think that the Cubs, they already made a manager change, but like, are they just going to accept mediocrity being five games under 500? Now all of a sudden the Mets are involved. They've turned their season around. They're only three games out. They have not lost a game, Randy, since Grimace threw out the first pitch there. I don't know if you saw that video, but Grimace has been.
I'm a big Grimace fan.
Me too. He had a milkshake that came out last year. Did you try it? It was delicious.
Oh, it was my favorite.
What flavor was it?
Grimace flavored.
Is that like a blueberry? Is that?
Yeah, I think it had a little. I've actually asked people who work there, and they either wouldn't tell
yes,
me.
That
or,
in, that, yeah, they're just like the spices in Kentucky Fried Chicken. They are
sworn to secrecy.
Sworn to secrecy.
They were not spilling
flavors.
The beans.
Okay. The Mets have not lost since Grimace, and they are now only three games under 500. So they are not in sell mode. It doesn't look like they're right now at this very second going to dump Pete Alonso and throw in the towel in the season. That's my long-winded way of saying I don't think just who you are is going to differentiate you or distance you from the pack, so...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.